Episode number 25, Equipping Youth to Do Kids Ministry with Kelly Presslin.
This is the Kidmin Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Hey everyone, volunteer recruitment is one of the most talked about issues in kids ministry today. If you're hanging around a bunch of kids leaders, that's what they're talking about. How to find volunteers, how to raise them up. One of the greatest untapped resources in our kids ministry today is our youth. Youth are looking for a place to serve and a place where they can be given opportunity. They already probably have your DNA because you've been a leader for them from birth until sixth grade. They need leaders, though, who will mentor them and pour into their lives. It's amazing to see how raising up youth to serve today will prepare them for their future in the kingdom. My guest on today's podcast is Kelly Presslin. Kelly Presslin is a great friend and a great leader in our space. He's the National Kidmin Director for the Assemblies of God. He's also been the Leadership Development Coordinator, where he developed and released a digital training platform for children's ministry leaders entitled Hydrate. Kelly has a long and rich history of involvement in kids ministry that started at the age of 7. He's passionate about helping children's leaders be more intentional and spiritually effective. He's also gifted in methods of preparing children to be spirit-filled leaders among their friends and in their communities, and that starts with youth. Hundreds of youth through his unique courses have become special forces, servant leaders in their church body and beyond. Kelly continues to build up his reputation as a mentor for kidmin leaders, a kids camp evangelist, a school assembly presenter, and a high energy performer. I hope you're ready for the Kidmin Tribe today. We're going to jump in with Kelly right after this.
Hey, what's up? My name is Jody, and I'm a kids director at Stony Creek Church in Unica, Michigan. And if you are looking for something that's fun, engaging, and relevant for your kids' ministry to take it to the next level, well, you've got to check out 1230 Kids. I have been using them for over a year, and their content is amazing. Not only does it pull my kids in week after week, but it even engages with my small group leaders. We want to get kids here at church, and we do that by providing a fun environment. And 1230 Kids does that for me week after week. And it's not the same old thing either. They have new stuff all the time. So if you're looking for items like countdowns, worship videos, which are really good because it's by Seeds Family Worship, if you're looking for social media content, games, or even my favorite series in a box, which is thematic units that go along with my curriculum, you've gotta check out 1230 Kids. They're gonna provide stuff that's gonna bring your kids ministry to the next level.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Kidmin Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Noble. I'm so excited to be here with Kelly Presslin today. He is the Assemblies of God Kidmin National Director. Kelly, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, thanks, Jason. I appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely. Man, we're talking, the focus of this podcast is really helping leaders create great experiences for their kids ministry, wherever it's at. And today we're going to just talk and look, tell us a little bit about your background. What are you passionate about? Help us get to know Kelly.
How long do you have? I love to be relational. So, I grew up in a very small AG church, and at the age of 7, I was called into ministry at a kids crusade. And it just went from there. You know, I ended up doing lay ministry in my little home church for quite a while. I was an entertainer. What I mean by that is I did magic shows. I mean, gospel illusion
shows. Gospel illusions, right?
Yes. And clown shows and stuff. And so my little church, we just didn't really have anything for kids at a certain point. And I got super convicted, just to be honest with you. Yeah. Super convicted about doing all these gigs, just began. I was like, okay, I'm going to begin something right here. And Jason, I'll never forget, we had a bunch of bus kids, a bunch of kids from the projects and stuff of that nature. And I did the first, the first week, the first session. And I think we had 12 kids, and I knew I was enough of a performer. I knew it wasn't very good. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. So everybody bow your heads and let's pray. And when I looked up, every single one of them were at the altar.
Wow.
And I honestly remember saying out loud, in my mind, at least, it can't be that easy, because I knew what I did wasn't that good. Right.
Got a little more kids.
It's true. And then the next Sunday, like literally the next Sunday, we had 24. And before it was over, we had like 150 kids in a small church. And so that's kind of where it branched out. And we won't get into that. But the thing I'm probably the most passionate about, there'd be two things. But one is worship with kids. I want them to experience God's presence. Jason, I mean, I don't know all your background, but I grew up in church my whole life. My mom was a Christian. That's and, you know, I've been to thousands, literally thousands of services. And I can remember a few of the things the pastor said. Man, I can remember so many times that I was in the Lord's presence, and it was always involving worship.
Powerful. Yeah. Yeah. So, and there's quite a movement of worship, worship in kids ministry today. Like the amount of resources that are out there, I think a lot of people really wrap their arms around that same passion. A lot of leaders.
You know? Well, it's just, to me, it's a gateway. It's a gateway to the presence of the Lord. And we have to have that. And then second is just raising up young leaders. You know, I've always done, I think I call special forces, but it's like a master's commission within your church. Yeah. I started with sixth grade all the way through college. It's the best thing I've ever done. I'm crazy passionate about it, which is why when I came here, I'm like, I have to have summer interns. I can't just not do this. And so, you know, we have some temporary employees in the summer that I train, and we travel and do camps. So
that's great. Yeah, no. And it's really fun because actually I was the AG Kidman national director. Now, Kelly is, we have a picture of all of the
I get picture. It.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I love this. This was like taken last year in an event. All of the AG Kidman leaders that have been down, Dick Gruber, David Boyd, Scott, Mark. I mean, just look at all of those. What a great.
Legacy. I want you to notice I'm the shortest one, though.
Ah, it just went down. Did you notice?
Yeah. I'm not happy about that, but anyway.
Best looking one, right? Yeah. Shortest.
There you go.
You know, so there's been a legacy of kids ministry. And I think that when you look at that, we've all been passionate about worship and like what it's so cool to hear that, because I think that continues like that passion of raising up young leaders. That was something that was important to me. We did youth staff in our kids ministry where literally today those kids that started are now pastors. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. To missionaries.
Yeah.
I got some that are missionaries.
Yeah. Let's dig into that. Let's talk about that for a minute. Talk to me about using youth. Talk to me about the plan. Like, why should we? What does that look like? Some of the things you've learned along the way, because I think it's really untapped potential for a lot of kids ministry leaders.
Well, it's one of my favorite things to talk about. I teach on it a lot. I mean, we're going to talk 5 minutes about something that takes me an hour to really unpack. Yeah, but
totally.
But yes, there is such a need, and young people want to be challenged. They want to be challenged. They want to feel like they're a part of something. And, you know, what I love about young people. Now, I had great. I'm just going to talk about Michigan as my last pastorate. Okay. I had a great team of adults. Most of them were with me the whole 10 and a half years. I mean, I had a solid team. But you know what? The thing I'm most proud of are those young people.
Yes.
Those young people, man, because, you know, there's no way to say this and make it sound good, but you're going to know what I'm saying. You can get in a young person and you can challenge them and you can tell them where they're wrong. They don't get mad and leave and never come back.
Exactly. Yes, that's true.
They'll make that step with you and be like, okay, no. And they'll love you for it, right? Yep. They love you for it.
Yeah. Because of the guidance. They're looking for guidance. They really are. I mean, that's such an important aspect.
You know, I have one biological son, but I have hundreds of sons and daughters that have traveled the country with me that I am so close to, spiritual sons and daughters, you know? And I mean, I wouldn't take nothing for that, not anything. And that's not to mention what it does for your ministry, for discipleship, and for the kingdom of God. You know, you're going to hear Next Gen talked about a lot from the national office. And I'm doing a webinar in a few days. I was Next Gen before Next Gen was cool.
Oh, right.
Because I see the value.
Yep. Yep. And that was me too. I mean, like when we were in kids ministry, one of the things that was so important was building those bridges between the two, you know, from children to youth and then youth to college. And it's interesting. Barna came out with a report of why kids were leaving the church because, you know, that's a big thing we talk about, like from college to, you know, on. And one of the things that they talk about is that they've never been plugged in. Like kids haven't found a place to serve. They haven't been plugged in. And man, like I look back over my list of kids that we worked with and they're still plugged in. It's crazy.
Yep.
You know?
Well, it makes a difference. I mean, think about what happened to us, the people who are on this call. You know, obviously we got involved and we were like, I got to have more of that.
Yeah.
And that's not just for people who are called to full-time ministry. That's everyone. I've never met anyone who did, when they went home and felt like what they did made a difference.
Yeah.
It took their desire to be a better Christian to the next level.
Totally. Yes, yeah. Totally. And what if that's the foundational piece for these youth that you build in at a young age and they're like, man, from here on out, like, this is my foundation. And it just gets built right on that, that foundation of like finding a place where you make a difference and finding a place where I can use my talents. And, you know, I mean, one of the things I love about kids ministry is it's a safe place for kids to learn to use their talents. They don't have to be the best performers. They don't have to be the, you know, but God's able to take that and use them and start to hone in on those gifts. You know, we're working on the film Jesus Revolution right now. And I was talking to the director the other day. And one of the things that he said about it is he said, like, he grew up as Assemblies of God. He grew up in the church. He grew up doing fine arts. And he said, one of the things the church afforded me was about 10,000 hours to get my craft figured out and really worked out my video stuff that, you know, they really worked with me and allowed it. And now that's propelled me into directing films. And I go, what a great perspective that, you know, this place where we can cultivate. And he challenged a bunch of college students. He said, like, use your craft, use your talents in the church, because it's where you can get it worked out. And all those hours of learning and everything, you know, and that God will launch you that way.
I love it. I'm just thinking, I do a Christmas show, the Magic of Christmas show for churches. And I was in Arkansas, which I spent 8.5 years in Arkansas. And I have two girls there, one who was able to come. They're both school teachers.
Wow.
And they were like, when we went to college to be school teachers, we're like, well, we already know how to do that. Well, we already do that. We've done that. Yeah, we do all that. Like, it made it a breeze. Don't get me wrong. They learned things. But they said, we were 2 years ahead of everybody else in the class because we'd done all these things.
Wow. Wow. Well, and, you know, I think you have to have, as a leader, you're not just looking at bodies to warm, like, just to take, but it's this idea of strategy of saying, hey, like, how are we going to pour into this, you know, pour into our kids? And I love it because chances are they've already been with you, you know, in your kids ministry. So they already know you, like the connection that is made, like, it's a strategic concept of, okay, we're going to raise kids up. So when you look at that strategic concept, what's part of your, when you look at, like, if you were to boil it down, the strategy you put into place to raise up leaders, especially maybe some nuts and bolts.
Yeah, I do. I want to share that before I do. I got to tell you, like, the champion story just happened this summer. So I had a girl from Michigan where I was join us as one of our summer interns. She was young. She was young one in our group. But her parents, they led our camps. Their parents are those kind of people, just incredible people. So I didn't know this. As part of one of our lessons for the weeks of camp, it was basically about, you know, not quitting on God. Problems will come. Don't quit. Right.
So
and
good.
I didn't even know this. I don't think anybody knew it. She shared that there was a point in her life, like junior high years, that she actually had contemplated taking her life.
Wow.
All this stuff that was going on, all these bad things. Now, check this out, Jason. This is so amazing. Cool. She said, but the only thing that what happened was, my parents signed me up for the Special Forces program. She said, I was interested in it. I'd always been interested. And here's the part I want to get to. I looked up to so many of the people on that stage. And then she happened to get in. I'm going to say her name. Brooke Zalagi was one of my top girls. She said, I got in Brooke Zalagi's group. And she said, everything in my world changed. Wow. Everything. All that changed. And I mean, what a testimony, right? What a testimony. Not to mention all the other great things. That's huge.
Huge. That girl's here today because of it. Like, when I say that ministry, I say, like, and I don't know that we really grasp it, but we are dealing with life and death situations, not only spiritual, but that's a great example of it.
Well, more now than ever.
Yes. Yeah.
Confusion is rampant.
It is. Well, and you know, it's interesting you bring that, because I think that if you're not using your gifts, you're not using your talents, you don't know your purpose, then it's easy for the enemy to come in and confuse you in your identity, in your gender. I mean, like, all this stuff we're seeing.
Your worth.
I mean, all of that. And, you know, today I'm a lead pastor now, so I'm a senior pastor. And one of the things that I realize is, like, we're dealing with 35-year-olds, 40-year-olds that have been broken their whole life since they were a kid. And if somebody would have got in their way, Bill Wilson used to always say this, it's so much easier to build boys and girls than to fix men and women.
Yep.
It's so true.
It is true. I could tell you some nuts and bolts. Again, it's a, there's a lot to it. So
there is.
I've served in three churches in my lifetime. And the first one, I was a youth pastor and kids pastor. Second one, the second 4 years, I did both. So I love youth ministry as well, which helps. But I was noticing in this first church, we were picking up all these at-risk kids, right? Yep. On vans for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
I've been there, you know, too.
Yeah. So we're picking them all up, and they would fight over who's going to get picked up first and who's going to get dropped off last.
Wow. Because they're well, not home, right?
Right. I'm not the smartest guy around, but I thought, well, if these at-risk kids want to spend more time with God's people, we might should come up with an idea, right? And so literally the only time in my career, about 24 years full-time in church, you know, on staff, the only time in my career this ever happened. So I wish I were more spiritual more often, but the Lord literally woke me up one night and wow. said, write this down. And I started writing stuff down. Now, don't get me wrong. I had to do some legwork. I had to flesh it out, but God really gave me the idea at about 3 o'clock in the morning one day.
I love it.
And it's been the best thing I've ever done. It just pays dividends, and lots of people use it. It's something we can talk about at the end. You said about a resource.
Yeah.
A lot of people use it. Probably 100 different people that I know of are doing their own version of it, and you'll get the same results because it just simply works.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So what are some of those nuts? Just a few, give us a couple of nuts and bolts.
Okay. Well, so the way that I do it, and this is lots of trial and error, years and years of tweaking it. And, you know, and obviously sometimes you have to make changes because culture changes, right?
Yes.
But basically what I do is kids have to sign up. You said Bill Wilson. Years ago, Bill sent me something in the mail. It was everybody on his mailing list. It was a brown lunch sack.
Yep.
And it had stuff in it. So I adopted that and I put on there, don't throw away your chance to make a difference or make a real difference.
Cool.
And I sent it out to all the sixth graders. Okay. And I started there because I was new at the church. They're the only ones who really knew me. And they have to pay. They pay. And their parents signed this thing. Hey, we agree to help them do this and this and this. So they actually pay to do it,
okay.
Which puts some skin in the game. And I have to say, I did this 12 or 10 and a half years in Michigan. Two different terms each year, and I always had a waiting list of people
wow.
wanting to join
because wow.
I only took so many. So, and I took 12. But anyhow, all that to say this:
a good number 12. That's a good number.
I tried more, you know. I had 16, but I couldn't get the same results. It was too many.
Yep.
So I had to pull back. But anyway, all that to say this: we start out on Wednesday night. We pick them up after school Wednesday.
Wow.
On their vans. We pick them up, or, you know, if they lived out of town or whatever, they'd make their own way. If they're a high school student, they made their own way. But we would pick up the junior highs after school. We bring them right in, and of course, a lot of them have homework. So there's an hour, 45 minutes to an hour set aside there for them to work on their homework. And it was supervised. We had to make sure that they were doing it, not goofing off because their parents
right.
would have an issue with that.
Right.
We also had them all in individual teams. So if they were done with their homework or whatever, you know, there was a setup team, there was a props team, there was an office team, and I would have my older students would lead those teams, like Brooks Elijah I was telling you about.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so they know how to do everything in the church before it's over, because every term, if they come back for another term, they get put on a different team.
Wow.
Well, then from there, after the homework time, then we go into our discipleship piece. You know, it's about a 30-minute teaching. We have dinner together. And a few of them have chores to, you know, wash dishes and clean up and that whole thing. And parents are loving that because some of their kids have never in their life vacuumed. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
So it's kind of a crazy thing, but it works. And then their favorite part is from there, we move into what I call kids church application. And we're all in the room together. And I have one half of the group serves on the first and third Sundays. One half of the group serves on second and fourth. But we're all in there, you know, together. There's so many great things about that collaboration, but these young people know stuff that you don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
And they have experience that you don't know.
Yes.
And they've seen things that you don't know. And so they'll come up with stuff, man, great ideas. Some of it would get you fired if you did it.
Right.
But yeah. A lot of them, you're like, oh man, yes. And then from there, they go to pre-service prayer for the youth department, and that youth pastor loves you. You're his best friend because they're all there for prayer. But one of my biggest claims to I want to say claim to fame, not the right thing. The thing I'm most proud of was in Midland one year. It was Easter Sunday, you know. I mean, all those kids, they could tell us the Easter story, right?
Right, right.
And so I went in and I had a plan because that's me. I could not have one, but I didn't show it to them. I was like, here's the thing. It's going to be Easter. You guys know the Easter story. If you were going to do this, what would you do? And I'm going to tell you something, man. They put together all these different stations the kids visit, and myself and Jamie Walton, who was with me, we just stood back and watched them, and they blew it out of the park.
Yeah. Yes. And you empowered them. I bet they walked away from that feeling so good. Like they probably walked away going like, we can do anything. I mean,
they killed it, man.
Cool. And did you find that the people that you raised up then filtered into other ministries to help, like sound and like the different areas of ministry, even outside of kids ministry?
Yeah. Here's what I discovered through all the years of doing it. Kids who really get involved. Now, somebody might do one term. I did 10-week terms.
Okay.
Some kid might do one term. I'm not including them, right? Because they were just taste and see. But the kids who did 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 terms, I can tell you what I've determined. They will never be satisfied to sit and watch church happen. They'll never be satisfied.
Wow.
Because they have found the joy of being involved.
Yep. That alone is strategy. That's so powerful. Yep. You know, I mean, and now you're looking at men and women, because it's fun in kids ministry. When you first get started, you don't know what kind of seeds you're planting. You're hoping they're good. Right. And it's like, well, gosh, I hope it works. But now I think we get the fun side to be on the other side of it, looking at like the seeds that worked. And you get to see now kids who are married and, you know, whatever. And like, man, it really did work. And it's cool to see that. You know, that, and I love the relationship part of it.
Oh, me too. That's to me the best part. Let me give you the best compliment I've probably ever got in my entire ministry career.
Yeah.
So I had taken the position here, not national director, but I was director of leadership development. And a pastor from the Arkansas church, I had been gone 10 and a half years. Okay. I had been gone from that church 10 and one half years. He emailed me. And it's in my session when you hear me teach, but he said, listen, I know we've never met, but you're one of my spiritual heroes, is what the man said. He said, because of what you left behind. I'd been gone 10 and a half years, Jason. And it was just this program is what it was.
Wow.
He had all these people 10 and a half years later who were still leading, not to mention the ones who had left, you know, and gone other places, married, moved. He said, you're one of my spiritual heroes for what you've left behind. That's how passionate I am about what this does.
Yep. That's so cool. Well, and to look now to see what you built, you know, I mean, and leaders that are listening, I challenge you to dig in and really find out how to build something like this. Because we're always looking, and so many times in leadership, we get like, oh, I just made it through this Sunday. Oh, I'm good. What's coming next Sunday? But to really look beyond that and go, okay, strategically, what am I building? You know, what are we looking for the future? And I think this is a big piece to that, you know, not just living week to week, right? I mean, and sometimes in kids ministry, it feels like that because maybe we don't have enough volunteers or maybe it's, you know, the challenge of planning or whatever it is. But I think looking beyond that and saying, okay, what's my long-term strategy is really such a key. So you're around kids ministry leaders all the time. What do you feel like is one big issue that kids ministries or kids pastors are challenged with right now?
Right.
And how do we solve that?
You know, it's funny. There are several, obviously, but the one you hear the most has never changed. You already know what it is. You know, like, how do I get leaders? How do I get people to help me?
Yes.
And
especially now.
Yeah. Especially now. And that's the number one. I mean, there's a lot of other things. Don't get me wrong. There's the whole gender thing. There's a lot of stuff going on, but still that remains the number one. And so it fits so well with what we were just talking about.
Yes.
I'm going to step right over here and grab a picture because I didn't know we were going to do this. I want to show you something and I want to answer that question.
Yeah, yeah. Do it. That sounds great. No, it's so true.
So
by the way, you have a cool chair. Look at that.
That's right, man.
I
call it my Luke Skywalker, but anyway.
Yeah, there you go.
So in Michigan, I told you we did our own camps. And I spoke at both of the Michigan district camps, so we weren't anti-district. It's just one of those things I inherited. But anyway, so I had left, and our first week of August was always the camp in Michigan. And I'm in a meeting here with a bunch of, you know, officials, right? And I get a text from one of the kids who was in the very first Special Forces I ever did in Arkansas, Tim Shirley. He's my camp speaker, and I'm not there.
Wow.
And I'm sad I'm not there. I know where I'm supposed to be, where God's got me, but I'm sad.
Right.
And I opened the text. I'm like, what's going on? And he sends me this picture.
Wow.
This was just the young people at camp who were serving who had been in Special Forces.
That's an army, man. When you look at that. That's
and when I start telling you, there's youth pastors in here, there's missionaries in here, there's school teachers in here, there's kids pastors in here. So this takes care of that issue beforehand. But you can't start there. You can't start there. So let's talk.
Yeah.
And again, this is another hour. I've taught an hour and a half session.
Oh, I know. These are big topics.
They are. But the main thing is, I would say, just boil it down to, is you got to be likable.
Yes.
You got to increase your likability. And you're not coming to people without the why. What's the why? People want to know the why. Like I could volunteer. You could too, Jason. I could volunteer every hour of the week. No problem, because there's that much need.
There's
that much need.
There is.
But what's the why? Especially men. Let's just narrow it down. Especially men.
Yeah.
It's a little easier for a male kids pastor to get male people to help. I understand that.
Yep.
But let me tell you, I've been able to help a lot of ladies. We have a lot of incredible women who are full-time kids pastors, part-time kids pastors, and they need help. Yep. A man will not come and babysit.
No.
They won't do it. They won't even babysit their own kids, right? No. I mean, let's be honest. They don't do well with that. They're not going to come. They're not going to come and run herd. You know, you're going to have to give them something to do that when they go home, they're like, that mattered.
Yep.
And so that means if you want men in your ministry, then you've got to pull on that why chain. Listen, I'm gonna tell you about an instance, because I think stories are better than ideas, right?
Yeah.
So I was in Arkansas. I had a bunch of little African-American kids running around, and our church only had maybe 3 or 4 African-American men in there.
Wow.
None of them were on our team. But I had a bit of a relationship. So I recommend that you recruit out of a relationship first.
Yes. 100%.
So I went to this gentleman and I said, hey, man, can I talk to you a minute? He's like, yeah. And I said, I need your help. I started with, I need your help. He looked at me like, And I said, I have a whole bunch of little African-American boys and girls running around in kids' church, probably 20 or more. And I don't have one African-American representation.
Wow.
And I need these young people to see what a godly African-American man looks like.
Yes.
Could I ask you, would you give us, Jack, this is important too, would you give us 3 months? And then after that, don't miss this. This is important for everybody, anybody you get. I'd say after that, you know what? If you want to continue, you let me know. We're going to celebrate what you've done, whether you stay, whether you go. We're going to celebrate it.
But you can
let me know if you want to stay. And I want to tell you something. That man came in because why? I challenged him.
Yep.
And these little African-American boys and girls need to know who you are.
They do. Yeah.
They need that example. And so he was like all in. And I didn't just put him in the back of the room. I made sure, you know, I like to start people. Jason said kids ministry is a safe place. I like to start them with just teaching the scripture verse. Anybody can look at the screen and teach that scripture verse.
Exactly.
But it's a good way to break them in. But now he's on stage and he's leading and he's at the altar. But anyhow, he stayed with me quite a while. I can't remember if he was still there when I left Arkansas, but he was with me a good while. Made a difference. Why? Because I said, this is what I need, and this is why I need it. And I challenged him.
Totally. You know, and I think too, if you're a female leader, one of the things that I think you could do is get an influential man, get one influential guy in the church on board with you and say, hey, your job is to bring some other guys in. And it will happen. I mean, like that. And I love that idea. They're not going to babysit. They're probably not going to work in the nursery. They're probably, you know, so get them plugged into where they're going to shine. I think that's so good.
Yeah. Jason, I don't know about you, but when I was left at home with my own son, my only goal was he'd just be alive when his mom got home.
100%. That's exactly right. We're like, hey, I hope these kids make it. And I had daughters, so I was trying to figure out how to do their hair. And I mean, everyone could tell when mom was out of town because their hair was a hot mess. I mean, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, it's crazy.
I know that doesn't answer all the questions, but I mean, again, it would take an hour to really.
It would, but you know what? That idea of plugging youth in special forces is a great answer to volunteer needs. And I think, this is just my opinion, I think you can raise up better volunteers than even some of the adults that would come in.
Oh yeah.
You know, because you can pour, like you said, they're moldable clay, they're open books. If you love them, you spend time with them, you know, I mean, and not to say adult leaders are not as good, but I'm just saying, I think that you can, let me say this, you can create more of your DNA inside of them.
Yes.
In their hearts of how you do ministry, rather than an adult coming in and say, well, this is how we've always done it. And you need to conform to that.
In a much shorter time, you know, yes. It can be done with adults. It just takes a lot longer.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. That is so true. That's so true. So you talked about some great resources. Give us point us in some direction there.
Like, well, I want to start with something that's not mine, but I bet I've sold 100 of them just recently. I bought over 100 personally. There's a book out there called Resilient.
Yes.
Child Discipleship and the Fearless Future of the Church by Valerie Bell.
Yep.
She was the CEO of Awana. Look at how these.
Yeah.
I am jealous that someone in our tribe didn't write this book.
That's a great book. Yes.
I've had her on as a special guest.
Yeah. Definitely I will. And we had Matt Markins from Awana on, who has that same heart. I mean, like they're killing it. And you're right. I love that book. It's such a great book. It's Resilient. Resilient by who again?
Valerie Bell.
Okay. Get it, guys. It's a good book.
It's a great book. Yeah, I bet I've sold 100 of them to people just telling them about it. The other thing, you know, it's going to sound like a commercial, but it's all about what I just showed you.
Yeah.
KellyPresson.com is a thing called Special Forces. It's not expensive. It's a set of videos that show you exactly what we did and a little booklet that comes with it. Again, I could start naming names of people. Some of you would know who are doing this very successfully. I could tell you the pastor who was the youth pastor with me in Michigan for the last 5 years. He became the pastor when I was leaving, and he said, hey, man, we're going to have that again. Help me find somebody that will do that, because we're not going to not have that. He was a youth pastor. And so I say that because he's one of the people in the video while he was still youth pastoring, telling your youth pastor why he should be in favor of this, because that sometimes can be an obstacle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
He's going to tell you all the reasons why. Like this and this and this and this and this, right?
That is great. If you go get that stuff, guys, on KellyPresson.com. I think that's they have it laid out like that. You've already done the teaching. And again, it'll be a game changer in your kids' ministry. I really think that, you know.
The greatest thing I ever did.
Yeah, it is so good. And so what's on your heart? I know we've talked a lot about a lot of stuff here, but what's real, like, do you have anything else on your heart for leaders that you just want to, that would encourage them?
I do. Again, all these are really short answers and we want to keep them short, but I feel like I have to say that because there's so much more to it.
Yes.
The thing that God really put on my heart moving into this position is, I was coming out of a kids ministry, certainly won't name any names. And I actually had a piece in it, so I'm with it. You know, I walked out the double doors and I was very disappointed with the way the day had went. I just felt like it wasn't very good, you know, and again, I had a part to play in that.
In that Sunday morning or kids ministry?
Yeah, the Sunday morning. And I was discouraged about it. I walked out and I was just saying to myself, you know, man, I was unhappy. And And the Holy Spirit says to me so plain, I might as well have been audible. He said, do you know the difference between a really good kids ministry and an average one? Well, I'm thinking, well, I mean, you know, yeah. And I start, you know how we are, I start formulating this plan, this thought. Holy Spirit being who he is, you know, so simply said, a destination.
Oh, that's so good.
And I'm not talking about heaven. I mean, heaven is our ultimate, but a destination. Where do we want to take our kids spiritually?
Yep.
Where do we want them to be spiritually when they leave us? Because that changes everything. That changes everything you do. And the thing that looked really cute, and you're like, oh, this is going to be fun. Don't get me wrong. Anybody knows I want to have so much fun. The kids cry if they can't come.
Yep.
But it's not about the fun, but I want to have it. We're going to have it. But you know what I mean? Like, this looks like a really fun app thing we're going to do. If it doesn't fit on your mile marker to destination, then why in God's name are you doing it? Right.
Because kids, I mean, it'll be forgotten down the road. The destination will be remembered.
Yeah. Well, where you're trying to take them. You know, I like to use the example in my sessions, like, you know, Springfield, how many are in Springfield? We have the world's largest fork. Now, I don't know if anybody knows that, but we do. It's, it's a Food Network or whatever. We have the world's largest fork.
Okay.
So imagine, if you will, you live in Minnesota and you got your family in the car and you're heading to Disney World, okay? Long drive, you come through Missouri. Are you going to stop and take half your day to see the world's largest fork?
I don't think so. Maybe the throat rolls at Lambert's, but not the world's largest.
You got to eat. You got to eat.
Right.
No, exactly. You're not going to do that. But how many times in my life, how many times in your life have we taken a detour on a Sunday for something that won't add up to amount of anything going forward in the life of a child?
Sure. Knowing that we're stressed about it. Then we're stressed about it afterwards.
Yeah. We don't have them every week. They're not even there every week. So let's have so much fun they can't stand it, but let's make sure it's in the right context, because the content of what we're delivering is life-changing. If the purpose of the gospel is to change lives, isn't that right? Purpose of the gospel is to change lives. Then we need to make sure that we're sharing the gospel in a way that applies to their life.
Exactly.
One last thing about that, really on this soapbox, huge. So much of a curriculum is written for the masses, okay? So you got to know it's not a target there. It's for the masses. It doesn't make them bad. It's just the way it is. But if you're just sharing information and you're not teaching kids how it applies to their life, you've taken a detour for the world's largest fork. You just give them some information. Whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, right.
What are they going to do with it?
Right. Exactly. No, that's so good. You know, and what kind of comes to my mind with that is relationship, again, is such an important part to that too, because if all you give is just information without relationship, like if you think about what you remember as a kid from your teachers and the people in kids ministry, you don't remember the lesson, but you remember the people. You know, you might remember some lessons, but
experience. You remember experience.
But the experience of like a leader living it through their life, like showing them Jesus. I mean, you know, and so I think you're absolutely right. That's hilarious about the biggest fork. I didn't know that. I had lived in Springfield and didn't even know that. So it's pretty crazy. But well, hey, thank you so much for being on today. Will you take a moment and pray for our leaders? Make sure you guys go to kellypreston.com. Such great knowledge and great information. And I just so appreciate you being on today. So if you could just take a moment and pray us out of here.
I sure will. Thank you. Lord, I thank you today for the people who are listening. And I thank you for Jason. I thank you for the heart that you've given him to minister to kids and families. God, I thank you for that. I thank you for everything that they do. Lord, I realize that in kids ministry, being thanked and being recognized sometimes is very lacking. And so, God, I thank them. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God right now would make it real to them how much you care for what they're doing, how grateful that you are that they have not only heard you call, but they've been obedient to that. Lord, I pray your encouragement would rest upon them, Lord. God, that as they continue to take time to try to sharpen and be better and to listen to podcasts and to learn to read the word, obviously, and to pray and seek your face, God, I just pray that they would see their ministry effectiveness increase. Lord, we want to see the numbers increase as well, Lord, but I pray that their effectiveness would increase. God, that they would see what they've been praying to see. God, that you'd give them vision and you'd give them insight, but Lord, also give them wisdom. I pray their families would be blessed. God, I pray their finances would be blessed. And Lord, I pray that the stress that they live with from week to week, with that they and myself, we would learn to better roll that over onto you, Lord, because your word still says that your burden is light. And I thank you for it, God. Be with my friends. Encourage them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kelly. I so appreciate you being on today. We're praying for you there and just keep making a great impact. And leaders, thank you for listening. We're so glad you are here today. And we'll see you next time on the Kidman Tribe podcast. Thanks again. God bless.
Thanks.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
Hey everyone, I hope that you enjoyed the podcast today. I hope you were encouraged. I hope God was able to speak to you. I hope you were challenged. If you love the Kidman Tribe podcast, please be sure to subscribe to wherever you're listening or watching. Subscribe to our channel. Give us a thumbs up. Give us a great review. We'd love to hear from you. And then share it with every Kidman leader you know. Again, we'd love to hear your comments, your thoughts, your feedback. Also, you can find us online at KidmanTribe.com. That's KidmanTribe.com. We have a bi-weekly blog, so the week that we're not releasing our podcast, we have a bi-weekly blog that's written by great leaders. There's some great topics there. You can also find old editions of the Kidman Tribe podcast. You can also find swag there, Kidman Tribe swag, shirts, some things that you can get for your volunteers just to say thank you for being a part of your kids' ministry. Also there, you'll find our mailbag. I would love to hear from you, love to get your thoughts, your questions, your comments, future show topics, if you have suggestions on guests, we'd love to hear from you. Share that at KidmanTribe.com/mailbag. Hey, so in 2 weeks, you are gonna meet a new friend that I just love, Christine Penner Warden. Christy Penner Warden is the North American Director for Raise Up Faith. She focuses on equipping, coaching, resourcing, and training. She's a strategic leader who is passionate about discipling children, empowering leaders, and providing effective support to those who serve in today's kids ministry. Christy is a credentialed pastor with the BIC denomination. She has the Engage Certificate in Children's Ministry through Bethel Seminary and is a certified coach with INCM. She's an international speaker, writer, and shares her wonder, the what ifs, with dreamers and doers alike, with organizations including David C. Cook, Ministry Spark, INCM, New Wine, Kids Matter, Kids Builder, Awesome Kidman Community, and a whole bunch more. You're not gonna wanna miss this time together. We're gonna be talking about the power of yes. When you say yes, many of you are in kids ministry today because you have said yes. And so you've said yes, the power of our yes, and what God can do. And you're gonna love Christy Penner Warden as she challenges us to say yes. You're not going to want to miss this next edition of the Kidman Tribe podcast. I can't wait to see you. Listen, man, God is doing great things all across America. He's doing great things in your kids' ministry. And I just want you to be encouraged today. We're into this year. Be encouraged that God is working. God's providing everything that you need. And as we say yes to Him, especially in new areas of ministry, you're gonna see God show up. Don't be afraid to say yes and obediently walk where God's calling you to walk. But we'll talk about that more next week. You're appreciated. What you're doing is changing lives for eternity. I'm your biggest fan. I'm cheering you on always. You're my heroes and you're my tribe. I can't wait to see what God does this year in your kids' ministry. I'll catch you in 2 weeks.
The Kidman Tribe podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit KidmanTribe.com.